If you turn your Bibles to John 3, a very familiar passage, and it's honestly, this is a sermon where I'm going to feel like this church could preach to me. It's a sermon where this church has been such a testimony for missions, for giving, for what you have done for not just this area, but for the world. And the tons of missionaries you've sent out and the impact your church has had. Just thinking today as we were driving up here, the impact this church had on my life. I remember I was called to preach as a junior in high school going into my senior year. And that summer, or it was that spring, God started working my heart. I felt kind of in the middle of a sermon, I don't even know what the sermon was on, just kind of something inside said, hey, you could preach. And I brushed it off, oh, that's cool, and just brushed it off and kept going on with my day. And it got to the point where we had a youth conference that year, every single sermon in that youth conference. Didn't matter what the topic was, God was telling me, you're called to preach. And then I still did not surrender. We went to your conference, and I knew by then, it wasn't a question, is God one trying to call me to preach? What's going on? It was very clear. He was calling me to preach. And I remember sitting outside watching the screens because we'd always show up late because our buses would break down or something would happen. But we're outside, and I remember in the invitation, getting on my knees saying, God, I can't do this. I can't get up and preach. I can't get up and get in front of, I don't know how to talk. I can't do it. And I was trying to use all these excuses, and I didn't surrender. But I remember how God had really impacted me so much at that conference. I remember right where I was, probably could take you to the spot and right now, and God was trying to call me to preach and use that. Right after then, I went on a mission trip to the Philippines. I was going school to school, preaching. We saw hundreds saved. It was an incredible trip. And I'm telling God, as I'm up there preaching the gospel to 50 to 300 students, I can't preach. While I'm preaching, I'm arguing with God while I was preaching. And that team camp that summer when finally Pastor Cowling from Arizona preached a sermon, just try. And I realized, it doesn't matter what my excuses are. I can just tell God, I'll try. And he's been so good to us. He's taken care of us, given me opportunities. And just want to be grateful to this church for what the impact you've had, the friends you've been to us, from times you've come up to camps, to basketball tournaments, the memories we have coming back and forth to play sports, all the different spots we've gone. And this is the church where we always hated on the court, but we're super close friends with right afterwards. And it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we still don't like them, but we love being here, love the church, love the FCU and the Myers and everyone here at this church. And really the impact you've had, even on our church, just as friends of a faithful church who's been here for decades, staying faithful. But in John 3:16, everyone in this room could quote it right now. Probably one of the most well-known verses in the whole world. But I was going over thinking of what is the importance of this verse? And we're going to read it and then I'll talk about it. But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this verse, I started thinking, what does this verse truly mean to me? It talks about eternal life. It talks about heaven. It talks about how much God gave to us. I started thinking, this verse is really the perfect definition of what Christ-like love is. Because he said, he loved us that he gave. And that's what sermon's going to be on is, learning to love like Christ loved us. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this church and their faithfulness and what you've done and with the building, their soul winning, their everything they've done here. Thank you for them being here. Help me. Give me wisdom what to say. Touch hearts and just use this for what you want to happen tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. But thinking about love, it's easy. Everyone in this room will say, oh yeah, I know it loves me. We start thinking of the people we love. It's easy for me. Growing up, I would say, oh yeah, I know what love means. And then when I met my wife in college, started falling in love, and I thought, I know what love means so much more now. And I started thinking, what do I have to do? Because I could say I love my wife all day long, but if I never do anything, if there's never any action that says it, it won't matter. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a specific thing. It might be gifts. It might be I have to make sure I spend time. Because I could say I love my wife. I could work all day, work all night, being busy at the church all weekend and never see her, and she's not going to feel like I loved her because there wasn't something for her where it's time. And it's over all these different things as we can think of what does it mean. How do we say I love you? They talk about there's different love languages, and everyone has a different language that tells them that I love you. But Christ, when he said he loved, He said, he gave. Other spot in the Bible says, no greater love hath any man than this, and he laid down his life for a friend. And love, all through the Bible, starts with giving and sacrifice. And this, the first time love is used, started looking at what is the love meant all through the Bible. It's when Abraham is going to give his son Isaac up on the altar. The picture of Christ who is coming and going to be the great sacrifice. And Abraham loved his son, but yet he loved God enough to still be willing to give him. And we go through, what's this love mean? And start thinking about showing love. And Christ shows us, if you want to be a Christian, because Christian means Christ-like, it means a lot of people are called Christians, but not very few people actually act like Christians. And if we want to be a Christian, if we want to have the type of love that Christ has, if we want to follow his example, we have to look at the Bible and says, what did Christ do to show us his love? And what it says he did is he loved God, for God to love the world, that he gave. And this church truly has given. They've given of their members all across the world. They've given so much money and time. And talking about the teenagers going out having visitors in church. Most teenagers are not going out and caring about church. They're having fun. They're hanging out. Yet a church like this, they've taught your teenagers to love. And you're having fruit. You're having visitors. And you're learning what Christ-like love is, to give of yourself. I grew up, I enjoyed playing basketball, but I love football. And I didn't really follow all the teams, but I loved the chance to be able to play. And that, for a short period, we were able to do tackle football. And tackle football was perfect, because I was on the line, and my job was to hit the other person as hard as I could. And if possible, get past them and hit someone else. And I loved it. And I was going through all these different things. I would cut out sugar. I'd cut out soda. I would do all these extra workouts. Now, I like to eat. I like the sweets. I like all the extras. But because I loved football and said, I want to be as good as I can, I said, I'm going to give up some things. I was getting up all through the summers. I would have to give up sleeping in to show up for football workouts. And it wasn't something, oh, I can't wait to get there and work out. Because I knew I'm going to be leaving, and I'm going to be sore, and I'm going to be tired. I'm still going to have to work all day with all the other jobs I would have. But because I love football, I was going to have to say, I'll sacrifice my time. I'll sacrifice how good I'm going to feel, because I know it's going to have impact later on. And through football, I would play. And I got to the point where I would get cramps every single game. And there's one thing our team found that was a miracle worker for cramps, and it was pickle juice. The one problem is, even though I got the most cramps, is I hated pickles. And so it got to the point, we're in a game, it was very competitive, and I was limping off the field thinking, I can't keep doing this. And I got to the point, I can't leave the field. So I had to pick up the bottle of pickle juice, and I tried drinking it. It did not happen. But I tell people, I love football so much, even though I would say I hated pickles, I was going to try drinking that pickle juice because I needed to be back in the field. I know it's easy to relate to sports and fun back in high school. I'm thinking, could we say that we love the world? Now, this church, I would say, is an example of a church that loves the world. You have people from everywhere. You have sent people out all over the world, and you've given so much, even of just this area, how you would go out and you're having your teens go so on, and you're having the bus routes, the excitement going on, hearing about what's going on at the college and the buses. But could we truly say we love the world? Because to say that, we have to look and say, what have I given to the world? What have I done to show the world my love? Because I could tell my wife I love you, never give her any gifts, never spend any time with her, never provide the need she has, and she's going to start wondering, he says he loves you, he loves me, but does he really? Because action is what is needed to show love. Yep. Jesus told us all through the Bible that all these different things of how he loved us. But when it came down, he truly showed us that he loved us on the cross. Yep. Because he gave himself, he gave so much, such a sacrifice. And it comes down to, can we decide that we're going to love like Christ? It doesn't mean that you have to go across the world as a missionary. It doesn't mean you have to give everything you have to the church. but it means you have to be loving and giving of yourself. God has a plan for every single one of us. I have friends right now who are faithful Sunday school teachers and involved, and they're doing right what God wants them to do. I have friends who have just reached the mission field in the last couple months. I have friends, and it doesn't matter what God has called you to do, but if you're going to say, I love the world, I want to have Christ's love in me, there's going to have to be some action with our money, with our time, with our life. Something has to be shown to show that love. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God didn't say, if you really want to show love, you might do this. Or Paul was right and said, it's only reasonable that you present your body. Everything you have, that's your talents, that's your ability to make money, everything you have, just give it to God. The special that was just sung, he had to give up some of his pride as he was learning to sing, to get up here and say, I'm going to get up here and I might make mistakes as he was learning. And that was an incredible special, great song. But you know what? Especially learning, trying to get up, growing up when you're Christ's love, we can use those talents that God has given us. We have to give up sometimes of health. So many missionaries will go and they'll come back with horrible health problems. One of the missionaries we were just with, they were in the Philippines and had a horrible diagnosis of the wife was having some health issues. They went and got some x-rays, and the doctors told them that you have a horrible disease in your lungs. You're probably not going to live more than 3 years, and all you can do is try to make yourself comfortable. And they are faced with some major questions, what's going to happen? So they went in, sent x-rays to people they knew, and they said, yeah, that looks like it, what it is. And they had to make a decision, are we going to come home off the field and just try to make you comfortable in America? Or are we going to try to figure out what we can do to stay in the Philippines and do what God has called us to do? And they decided they're going to stay. So they went and had another CAT scan to see what was going on. It was a couple months later before they could get in. And they had already decided, we're staying, whatever happens, whatever this is, whatever the consequences are, we're going to do what we can to make her comfortable with what God has called us to the mission field. And they got there, the CAT scan, and whether it was a mistake on the previous x-rays or God just cured them and blessed them, they had said, we're willing to give up health, give up everything we have, and we're going to spend our time here. And God blessed them. When they went through the CAT scan, clean. There was nothing wrong. And God has taken care of them, whether it was a mistake with x-rays or answered prayer. And I'd rather trust that God just answered the prayer any day because he's able to heal us, take care of us. But you know what? So many missionaries I know have given up health. There's a missionary that's I know in Guyana, deep in the jungle, constantly back and forth, surgery after surgery, health problem after health problem. And he could come back to the States and probably live a somewhat comfortable life with just try to recover from what health problems. But as soon as he's able to get up and get going just a little bit, he's back in the church. He's back going up the rivers, having his bus routes and the canoes up the river, because he's not going to sit still. He said, if God will give me enough health to go, I'll go. And he's given up his health for God. But you know what? He's showing his love. And so much when we think of what does it take to show love. My wife likes flowers. And it's hard when we're together all the time. I don't get to a store by myself to get a flower. But you know what? I know if I show up with flowers, it's going to say I love you. If I show up with some small gift, if she asks, hey, can we go do this? And I could look and say, can I make this work schedule? Or can I, you know what? If she asks something, I'm going to try doing whatever I can to make that happen. Yeah. Because I want her to know I love her. And I wonder, will we do the same thing with God? God loves us so much more than we could ever humanly think about love. And could we, when he asks us to do something, could we just say, I'm going to do whatever I can to please him? Well, I'm going to do whatever I can to make him happy. That might mean giving up your one day off on Saturday to start spending extra time on the bus routes. That might mean spending the evenings where you normally would be home knocking doors a little bit more. Maybe it's working a few hours of overtime so you could give the extra bit of faith promise. Maybe God has something only you can do, but you're going to have to say, I'm going to have to give up myself, my own desires, what God wants me to do. Because if we could give up ourselves, if we could give up what we want and start following Christ, it's easy. Just heard a pastor say, it's Christianity is the easiest thing in the world. Just read your Bible and pray and ask God what to do and do it. But then we all know it's not that easy because we have our flesh. That flesh is constantly fighting. And it doesn't want us to give. It doesn't want us to give anything, whether it's our money, our time. Starts looking about what we give to missions, what we give to tithes. Start thinking, how much of a nicer car could I have if I started not giving this money? But then you start realizing, what blessings of God would I lose if I didn't give that? I'll say right now, God has been so good to us. He's taken care of our needs. This last 2 months, we've been on the road. We didn't start out with a bunch of support, and we just thought we're going to go church to church asking for support. We're going to have to trust God to take care of us. And we've not had to spend extra money because God has given us love offerings. He's brought in huge answers to prayer. We're needing a new car, and we had a person in our church, and we were praying God would just give us a car. And he did. But it was not the answer to prayer. We were thinking a nice new car that's going to work for deputation. Had a couple in our church said, we have an older car we don't need. It used to be his commuter car, and said, I'll give it to you. You can do whatever you want. And just able to sell it and put that money towards a new car. We had someone else saying, what could I pray for? We told him, like, well, we're praying that God's going to supply us with a car because we saved up money. God's taking care of us. And we just need a car that's going to be good for a car seat and be reliable on deputation. And they sent us a huge check. And I can't believe how much God has given us. I'm not working. We're getting more money now, how God has blessed and answered prayers, than it was when we were trusting ourselves with our jobs and what we were doing. Because, and I've realized so much, we could try planning every penny out. Where are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? But it doesn't matter because God's going to take care of us. If we're doing what God wants to do, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. It doesn't matter where we think we could, whether we could finance or how we could do this. Because God says, trust me. There's a song, Trust and Obey. And it's easy. Well, I can trust God. But then to show that trust, we have to obey. And I would say there's been times recently God has tested faith. I've been there looking like, okay, I don't know where money's coming from. We still have the bills coming in, not very much expenses because right now we're able to stay with our, alternate which of our parents we're staying with and travel close. So God has been good that way, not having many expenses, but there's still some expenses. And there's a couple times I went and like, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to take care of this bill? And God's taking care of it. When we found out we were expecting, we knew my wife's still on her parents' insurance, and it's incredible how God has done that. It's going to be, everything's covered with a birth, incredible, like, huge blessing. But we knew the baby wasn't going to be covered, and I would have to get insurance for the baby as soon as it's born, so the baby would have coverage. And so we found out what we were expecting, so I call my insurance company, and all right, how are we going to make this work? Because the birth is covered, but right afterwards, I need to get insurance, because there could be complications right after birth or something that would need be medical bills. And they said, well, you can't even start the process until the baby's born. So we're going out, okay, so as soon as the baby's born, it won't be on her dad's insurance anymore because he can't cover grandkids. But yeah, I can't even start the process. I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? What huge cost? Because medical expenses are big. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to save the money? What are we going to do? And it comes out, we start praying. We get with insurance companies, and the baby's covered for a full month completely. And I think the hospital copay is $150, which is a huge answer prayer, way less than we ever expected to have to pay. And God has taken care of us. God, huge answer prayer. When we first got ready to travel this summer with evangelists for the summer, there had been some medical issues with medicine and stuff going on. And we were honestly wondering if we were going to be able to have children. We started praying, both of us, thinking, God, take care of this medical. We don't know what's going on. And by the time we reached the point where she had the doctor's appointment to figure out, hey, what's going on? Are we going to be able to have kids? She's going to pick up the phone and said, well, the purpose of this appointment is irrelevant because I'm expecting. And we had no idea how God was going to answer that prayer. But yet, even though there was a question if we would ever be able to have kids, we have a child on the way right now. And God's been so good to us. He's taken care of us. But we have to be willing to give ourselves. Because if we can't give ourselves, we can't see God use what we have. You could say, I don't have anything to give. I don't have any great talents. I can't get up in front of people and sing. I'm too scared to be in front of everybody, even knocking on doors. I'm shaking my boots as I knock on the door, but I want to serve God. It doesn't matter what you have, because the widow who gave her two mites was praised by God. The little boy with his lunch when the thousands were fed said, I have a lunch. What's a few loaves and some fish with thousands of people? Yet it doesn't matter how little you have. If you're willing to just take whatever you have and say, God, I'll give it. He can do incredible things. Right. Some most socially awkward, weird people you'd know, and I'm probably one of them, would be missionaries who've now gone and have incredible works. Just thinking of some of these missionaries who in college, everyone's like, oh yeah, that weird person over there. But now everyone is like, could I get a chance to talk to this missionary who've been there for decades with thousands of people getting saved, huge churches? But all it was they said, it doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter how much I have. I'll just give of myself. And that's all God asks us to do. He doesn't ask us to be some great pastor. He doesn't ask us to be the best bus captain with these huge numbers. He just says, will you be yourself and give yourself to me? Because I can never be a Pastor Myers. I can never be Brother Joseph. Doesn't matter who in this room I look up to, I can never be him. Because I only can be myself.
Right.
But God doesn't ask me to be someone else. He says, if I can be Josiah Goddard, yielded to God's will, he can use me. The missionary we're going to is one of the most incredible men the missionary we're going to be working with when we're starting out in Trinidad is one of the most incredible men we've met. Incredible preacher. He's done so much for God. He's been stayed there for 26 years, has an incredible church. And I thought, I don't think I could ever be him. I don't know if I could ever have a work like his. But God doesn't expect me to. He expects me to follow his will, to go, and just say, God, whatever you want. And I want to ask today, could we just say, God, I don't know what I have that I could give to you, but would you let me know what you need of me, and I'll give it. God might have some extra money that he's been saying, I need you to give this. And you're thinking, I don't know how I can make it with my budget if I give this little bit of extra. But God can take care of you. Just recently, we were talking and thought, and God has spoken to both of us separately, and he's like, we need to give more to missions. And since we started that, the love offerings we've received have gone up. It doesn't make any sense, but God, we gave a little bit more to God, and he gave us so much more.
Yeah.
And every time we do that, God can give us more than we ever could give him. Maybe we have to give up some of our pride. Maybe you were worried, God, you have a talent you could sing. Maybe you could be used on a bus to lead songs and programs to the kids. You're going to have to say, God, I'm willing to look weird. I'm willing to do the crazy promotion and whatever the promotion, and just say, God, I'm willing to lose myself. Because some of the best bus workers I know, they were not the bombastic, outgoing people. They wanted to sit in the back of the bus, talk to the one kid, and get off. They didn't want to be in front. But yet when they're willing to give of themselves, when they're willing to go up and say, okay, God, I'll get in front of everyone and sing a song, he used them. And they touched so many hearts. And it doesn't matter how little or how much you have. It doesn't matter what you think you could do. God has something just for you. And he says, can you be Christ-like with your love? Can you love the world? Can you love those around you like I loved you? And even though as Christians we fall short every single day of being like Christ, our humanity and our flesh takes advantage of us so often. Every single day we get up and say, God, I'm going to fight to do exactly what you want me to do today. Whether that's maybe going out of yourself and witnessing at work. Maybe that's saying there's someone that God has been working in your heart to be a missionary. Maybe God has been working on your heart to go to Bible college. Maybe God has been working on your heart to start a church. Something God has for you. If you could just yield yourself, give yourself and say, God, I'm going to give whatever you want me to. Whether it's my time, my talents, my money, or my life, I'll give it to you. We can love exactly like Christ loved. And he can do so many miracles that we could have never thought were possible through our life. If we can just say, I'm going to be like Christ and give to show my love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this great church. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the example you've given us with your love, the love that gave us salvation. And God, we can never love is exactly like you can, but God, I pray that we'll live our lives in a way that we can show your love and work at living like you. Pray that you would touch hearts, whether it's giving of the life, of your money, talents, skills, whatever we have, God, help us yield it to you and give you control. In Jesus' name, amen.